Welcome to the July edition of Learning Unboxed. Similar to previous years, we typically take the month of July off. However, we know our listeners enjoy engaging with Learning Unboxed during the summer break. These next 4 weeks, we will explore four featured learning sites who are part of the Education Reimagined Ecosystem Lab. We will explore Fab Newport. We'll take a look at Rock Tree Sky. We'll visit with Norris School District. And we will have big conversations with Big Thought in Dallas, Texas. Education Reimagined's mission is to make learner-centered education available to every child in the United States, inclusive of race, background, and circumstance. Tune in to discover how each learning site uniquely fosters learner-centered experiences for their students.
I recall one of our teenagers one time saying, you know, Jim, you know me. Like, do you think this would be something I'd be into? They're just wanting that reassurance or that inspiration or a little bit of guidance. You know, we're guides and they need that. And if it's done in a caring relationship, that's mostly what they need from us.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and Chief Goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I'm excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about holding space as a positive disruptor and how we think about education. Why does it work? Why does it matter? And what are we doing? And joining us today is Jim Bailey, who is the co-founder and current executive director at Rock Tree Sky. So Jim, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I am thrilled and super excited to talk with you. And so as we sort of set some context for our listeners, just a little bit here, Rock Tree Sky is many things: a self-directed learning community, a child-centered learning environment, a center for homeschool enrichment, a makerspace, and a loose parts playground, which gives young people the time, tools, and freedom from constant evaluation. One thing that I truly, truly love and respect. And the work is the heart of what Rock Tree Sky is: to hold space. And in this space, learners are free to explore their innate curiosities, grow their confidence and their personal agency, and develop healthy, loving relationships with peers and adult mentors in a community that celebrates all things learning. So Jim, let's start with sort of the big picture question, which is why? Why do this? As I understand it, you have a background as a lifelong educator, and yet you decided to do this thing. Why is that?
Because I think I started to feel, after 15 years in the classroom, that the conventional schooling model was limiting not only for myself, which I started to feel that it was, but primarily for young people that I cared deeply about. And some of them were young people that were friends of ours, friends of the family, our own daughter included, who in second grade started coming home with a lot more worksheets than we ever thought a seven-year-old should. Yeah. And so we started having a few discussions with some families we knew. And I have to tell you, Annalise, I was surprised at how many families were interested in stepping away from the whole notion of school and moving into a, you know, kind of a pod-like setting pre-COVID. You know, this was 8 years ago.
Right.
So that was the why. It wasn't meeting my needs nor the needs of some of the learners that I really care deeply about.
You know, it's really interesting because when I talk with folks that are doing really incredible innovative work that is happening outside of a traditional educational setting. I often, especially with founders, right, there's similar threads to those stories. And I'm a founder as well, right? So I'm guilty of this. And there's just something about the identification of a moment that says, I've had enough and I'm willing on behalf of others to stretch out into the unknown. And I take a moment to say that out loud because I think that a lot of folks don't understand how daunting the journey truly is. And just to say thank you for your willingness to even step outside of everything that was secure and into a space, honestly, on behalf of kids.
Well, thank you so much for that. It has been work along the way, and and we haven't done it alone. It's the families. When you create spaces like Rock Tree Sky and so many others that are stepping away from the conventional model, and families see their kids, that the first families who come see how their young people are getting that spark back. They're coming home happy. They're re-enlivened. Those families begin to be willing to move heaven and earth for you, and as well to spread the word to other families.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about Rock Tree Sky. So set the stage a little bit for our listeners. You're based in California, but tell us exactly what is it? What does it do? Because I think that your approach is really, really creative. And so I want to dig into some of the elements of it a little bit.
Okay, excellent. It's in Ojai, California, south of Santa Barbara, north of Los Angeles. And, it meets the needs of a diversity of families along the schooling or learning spectrum. What we do is we offer a space with healthy, loving relationships and caring adults, and then a rich space as well, with a art studio, STEM lab, makerspace, mm-hmm. design room that also has a piano in it and a reading nook, because I believe that, we can cross-pollinate in these spaces. Yeah. Music studio, an imagination room that has all of the dress-up clothes and the stage and those pieces for the young people. And then, of course, beautiful outdoor space for garden and outdoor play. And so what it does for some folks, they are on the unschooling journey already, and it can be a 3 to 5 day a week unschooling at school type of mm-hmm. space, as mm-hmm. as my friend Kara Schoenfeld once said. It's like unschooling, but at a school space together with others. But for other families, they may be at a different philosophical part of their journey, and they're doing some amount of school at home, right? Some type of box curriculum, if you will. And then we can be the place where enrichment is happening, right, and relationship is happening, mm-hmm. so that their young people are developing in healthy social, emotional ways with peers and other adults.
Yeah. And that is so critically important, the opportunity to provide not just a place and the space to do it, but I think that the other thing that in my mind, that is really, really critical about these types of opportunities is that the quality of that arrangement is really, really supportive of learning and of the learner's journey, right? So it's not just enough to be a place to go play and do, but if that play and do also supplements the more either boxed or the traditional or whatever the other formalized learning that's happening for an individual child, that's really, really powerful.
Exactly. And that's a piece that's really meaningful to me, coming from the background of education, wanting to support all young people to thrive, to make sure that we as the adults in those spaces, we have a responsibility to mm-hmm. to be witnessing, to be offering things that we're deeply passionate about, things that we know that other young people have, at an age appropriate time, been deeply interested in. So it does need to be rich, and you need to give young people the tools of the culture mm-hmm. that are going to be of value. It can't be, there have been, my wife had an experience visiting a space, and she said it just felt a little bit like a learning desert. You know, that was right. The space was there, the adults were there, but they were just standing back, not necessarily getting in there, you know, rolling up their sleeves and making offerings or really engaging mm-hmm. the young people. And, you know, that didn't really sit in my comfort zone. That's not what I wanted to offer. I believe that, you know, that it's, we're all learning together. So how can we make sure that we as the adults bring our piece to that table? And that can be inspirational. That can be the spark, all of those things.
Absolutely. And it comes with so much knowledge and experience, right? And I do appreciate that so much because it's that mentoring element. It's that relationship, right? You know, and in my conversations with kids from, you know, all around the world, I hear that over and over and over again, right? You know, and it is really interesting because we've all heard, you know, the sort of adage, well, you know, did you have this great inspirational teacher at some point in your journey? And almost every adult will identify somebody, right? And when you really sort of peel back the layers of that, what it boiled down to, it was somebody that as a kid, you identified with this adult somehow that either mentored you or shepherded you or provided you with a really unique experience that you never, ever forgot. There's a reason that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what? We're social animals, right? Mm-hmm. By evolution. And when we make those connections and, you know, we're seen by somebody and we see something that sparks us in somebody, an adult, yeah, that we can start to imagine ourselves, you know, kind of, what if I went on that journey? What if I became like this person who you know I'm caring deeply about and I know cares deeply about me in that space. Sometimes when I think back to my success in the classroom, I think that was primarily it. That it was more about my relationship with the young people in my eighth grade science class, and it wasn't the particulars of my pedagogy, but it was more about them feeling seen and me truly, truly loving and being inspired by what I was offering.
Yeah. Well, and by the kids themselves, right? And so I think that's probably, one of those identifiers, right? Because the kids are so incredibly creative, right? They have the absolute potential to solve all of the world's greatest problems, and yet we're constantly standing in their way, either as the adults who believe that we know better or as a system that is no longer serving the needs of our learners in the 21st century.
Absolutely. It isn't. My wife, Natasha, and I were talking about this recently, how talking to some of the teens that she's been working with at Rock Tree Sky have shared with her, they're tired of the hypotheticals that they get in the classroom, and they are ready to roll up their sleeves and get out there and do something that feels real and meaningful. And instead, you know, school, unfortunately, is served, you know, as Kelly Young puts it, it's warehousing our young people away from the community. Yeah. And in this day and age where information is ubiquitous, we can't do that anymore.
Right.
They're ready to get out there and provide a meaningful contribution to their community, and their community needs them.
Yeah, absolutely. And kids are sick and tired, honestly, of us trying to spend so much time, energy, and effort teaching them the things that reside in that phone in their pocket. Right?
Exactly.
They're like, why are you teaching me this? It's literally, I'm carrying it around on my hip.
That's right. That's right. It hasn't, the model hasn't changed, and it needs to in light of all of these new technologies. I was teaching a science, like a short astronomy seminar series, offering it really at our program. And one of the ninth graders at one point raised their hands and he said, oh, you mean like Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, correct? And I said, yeah, exactly. That's where I was headed. I said, how did you know that? He said, there's this professor from Columbia that I watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to take us to the channel, show us this professor. What do I, role needs to change. The teacher's role, the adult in the room's role needs to change to become the facilitator, not, you know, the holder of the knowledge that, you know, so that's where we're at.
100%, right? And the kids, they're resentful, honestly, of it, right? They're just tired, you know, and COVID quite frankly, only exacerbated all of the issues that were running rampant that in the traditional educational system. And in my mind, when I watched the kids at PAST, at the PAST Innovation Lab, in particular, that, you know, it is really, really clear to me that they are just done with that, right? You know, the reality is they don't need us to help them figure out how to do things. What they need from us is to mentor them in evaluating all the stuff that's out there, helping them figure out how to make good choices, and to stand next to them while they succeed and fail in equal parts.
Oh, that's so beautifully put. That is exactly true. That's exactly what they're wanting. We're there in partnership with them. And as you put it, to stand next to them, to give them some feedback. I think when you say that, I recall one of our teenagers one time saying, you know, Jim, you know me. Like, do you think this would be something I'd be into? They're just wanting that reassurance or that inspiration or a little bit of guidance. You know, we're guides and they need that. And if it's done in a caring relationship, that's mostly what they need from us. You're right.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, get out of their way, support them, listen to them, have value in their voice and their choice, right? And just also recognize they have so much to contribute. You know, I jokingly, but I'm actually quite serious. I say this all the time, that I would put the kids at the PAST Innovation Lab up against any industry R&D team in the world, any day.
Yeah, nice.
And I have complete confidence that my kids will stand up and deliver. It might not be the right solution. It might not even be the physics of what they're proposing. Just might not even be possible. But there's going to be a grain or a nugget in every single solution that these kids come up with that's going to have tangible application somewhere.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School: 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
Excellent. Yes. That's, I think, what, Natasha and I always loved about the work of Iowa Big. When they were putting kids out into the internships, they were requiring, hey, they're going to be doing real things. You know, don't give them a broom and have them, you know, dust mop the floors. Like, these kids are ready to work on some meaty problems. And yeah, they have this agility and facility and flexibility of mind that, that brings some value to the table.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. So let's dig in just a touch, because I know the listeners are like, okay, so this is cool and what Jim's got going on, pretty darn awesome. But share with us an example of two, right? Really, really tangible in the weeds of some of the things that Rock Tree Sky is actually doing. So what's an actual student experience look like and feel like?
Okay, here's a great example of an experience that's happening right now for some of our teens. We have a school-based enterprise. It's called Ojai Makers. It's with the support of Foundry 805, which is a Ventura County kind of entrepreneurial lab for our high school students. And I think, unfortunately, at this point, there's only maybe 5 or 6 high schools that have, you know, jumped on board, which is surprising out of all the high schools in our county. But so one example is the teens at Rock Tree Sky have this are offered to come up with a student-led business of some sort or another. And one that is launching right now, in fact, this week will be their second week, is a refill station at our local farmers market, where they priced out, ordered in bulk, dishwashing detergent, you know, for dishwashers, for the regular dishwashing soap and laundry detergent. And they ordered it in bulk from a company that makes it gray water safe, et cetera. And they are selling refill. You bring in your bottle and you get it refilled at the local farmer's market. That was an entirely student.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a brilliant idea.
Of course. So that's one thing that just kicked off recently. Another longstanding thing that we've been doing is A student wanted to learn how to grow mushrooms. So mm-hmm. we dove deep with that student. She got some of her friends on board, and we grow mushrooms on campus, culinary mm-hmm. mushrooms, and then they sell them at the local farmers market as well. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of things. It's really, you know, what is it that you want to do? How can we help you do it? Mm-hmm. And if we can't with who we have on site, then we're going to find the people and bring them in.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. And incredibly powerful for kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Bravo.
I'll share one other thing that's, you know, that's on the real entrepreneurial side or the, you know, practical side. You know, on the other side, we have young people who still are, you know, intending and on a college path. And we have them, I think out of the 74 teenagers we have at Rock Tree Sky right now, 30 of them are enrolled at junior college and junior college classes. So that's about 40% of our kids
awesome.
Are doing dual enrollment, mm-hmm. which there's a big push in California right now in support of for their public high schools.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see more of that because so often, you know, the academic high school classes are not much, well, the college classes are just a touch better, mostly, you know, more interesting, et cetera, mm-hmm. but they can get dual credit. And
right.
why not?
Right.
If that's the path they want.
Exactly. Right. Otherwise, we're just wasting time, right?
Right. So we're housing them. I understand mm-hmm. my, you know, the desire to keep certain jobs, but not at the expense of a young person who mm-hmm. whose life is, you know, they're only 16 once. And this is right. this is their life.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that we support them and we make what we're doing with their time meaningful. You're only 16 once.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or eight.
Yeah, I 100%, 100%. I want to also dig in a little bit to another project that you're working on that I really would love to have some better understanding on. And that is this. You're doing some work with a pretty unique partnership program with the local public school district. And so how do you take the free form that is Rock Tree Sky, right, and place it into an effective partnership with a more formal setting? Because I think that lots of communities, right, the letting go of the structure we know, super scary, we're not willing to do it, we have a whole host of reasons why we say we can't even have the conversation. And so for many communities, some type of hybrids or approach to making big transitions is probably the only option.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say that loosely, right? Because we all know there's never the only option, right? But the reality is sometimes we have to just sort of meet folks where they are. And if that's what I believe as a traditional education system, then okay, fine. So how does the work that you're doing making that sort of influence through the partnerships, the approaches that you're having with the formal settings?
Yes, we are blessed in California through the Ed Code, California Ed Code for Independent Study Schools, and for actually any school, I think, allows the district or the school to pay for services from vendors. In particular, with independent study model schools, they can pay for enrichment services, and oftentimes, when you don't have a brick-and-mortar site that you're paying for, you can attract families who've been homeschooling and they sign up for an independent study, either charter school or district independent study. And there's some extra funds that could be available for enrichment. And so we operate, as many others do in the state of California, maybe not quite as comprehensively, as an enrichment site for those independent study schools. Now, for whatever reason, mostly there were independent study charters that were really doing this. For the last 25 years in California, there have been independent study charter schools working with homeschool families and then giving them access to enrichment funds to pay for approved educational vendors. And they look into all that and make sure that it meets their needs. Districts haven't largely been doing that. But through working with these families, we created a robust program, moving from 17 learners in the first year to by the fourth year having over 100 young people, and many of them were in these homeschool charter schools. We had an innovative superintendent. She came to us and said, "If I create an independent study school, a high school, will you invite your families to join our school?" Because California, I think over 50% of the school districts in California currently are experiencing declining enrollment. So there's a value-added proposition for them. And I said, yes, if you will be flexible with how you accept work samples and from these families. It can't just be here's a online program or here's a formal curriculum in a box and you have to do this. I said, you will need to be flexible and allow our families to turn in, you know, we have to focus on project-based learning opportunities for these young people. And it would be best if you could have some of your teachers visiting our campus and seeing the meaningful, authentic interests of the young people and then helping them with reflections that you would then be count for the formal work samples that they would need for their auditors. And I said, and one last thing, if you made it K through 12, I could bring you over 100 students into your school district next year. And they started with the high school and then the next year expanded the independent study model to include, K through 12. And there's currently, they have 160 of our students enrolled in that program. So that brings them in, a lot of average daily attendance dollars. And then they pay back a fee to us to provide enrichment services. And the real special sauce is when their teachers are on campus, on our campus that we rent from the school district, a closed surplus school campus, and seeing what their young people are doing. And then taking that and bringing it into some kind of a formal reflection piece. So that is available to, I think, anybody, at least in California, to go after and make that invitation.
That's pretty awesome. And I've got a bazillion questions about that, but a few, because we don't have time for my bazillion questions, but a couple. So the first one is, so the students in this independent created program, right, that was with the district then. So are those students who were your families, so do they attend the regular district now at all, or they only participate in this piece of the program, or some combination thereof? How does that work?
That's a combination. Important question. They come to our program 2 days a week that are paid for by the district. If they want to buy another day or two out of pocket, they may do so. Mm-hmm. And they can either meet with the teacher once every reporting period, every 24 days or whatever it might be, and, you know, exchange work samples, ideas, what's next, or they can go to small scale workshops once or twice a week that the district teachers offer, you know, and they offer them on our site. And then there's another elementary site that has some spare classrooms that they offer those. And many of the families wanted that. They wanted that. They were those families you were talking about earlier who weren't quite all the way ready to let go. And maybe had a value of, no, I'd like a little bit, not so much, right? 5 days a week, 6 hours a day in a desk. But for my young person, a few workshops here and there to help with some literacy acquisition, to help with some math skills. And so those teachers offer small workshops to those independent study families. Most of them participate in about two a week, I think. And then the families do some work at home and we can support it as well. I've had teachers come to me and say, hey, this young person, their science requires some sort of thing on electricity. And I say, oh, exciting. I love it. Let's go. We're going to build a circuit. We're going to do something. And I go into the design room, get into the closet, pull the stuff out. And that's when we're having some fun and my old science teacher hat comes back on.
Yeah. So you're talking about a true hybrid environment. These are homeschool families who are also part of a district and are also part of this awesome enrichment program that is Rock Tree Sky.
Yeah, it's win, 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 and a few more of those. Yeah, it really is. I have to pinch myself sometimes because it's really a dream job, a dream space to be with mm-hmm. young people and other professionals, you know, other teachers. I think we all feel really good about how we're, it feels like we're meeting the majority of these needs, that those needs for freedom, agency, and yet at the same time, an opportunity for some formal instruction when it's wanted by the young person, the family. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually really quite remarkable. And I am, you know, extremely progressive. Unfortunately, a lot of states in the U.S. don't make what you're talking about even possible, right? You know, our homeschool families in lots of places, certainly where we are, you're either in or you're out.
Wow. Okay.
Right. There's no true middle ground other than opting into a charter, which is still a formal based system to receive state dollars and support. So that's awesome that you have that opportunity. And I also love the fact that the educators that are still within the traditional setting have the opportunity to learn, participate, and then transport back into their own classrooms the philosophy and the freedom, quite frankly. I mean, I tell educators this all the time. As soon as you let go of everything that you know and embrace this just big, giant, ambiguous opportunity to learn and play together, it's incredibly freeing as a profession, as an educator. And it's honestly not nearly as much work.
Correct. And I think it's why a lot of us got into this work in the first place. Honestly, it reconnects us with, you know, many of us were those continuous learners. I think that, you know, Theo Dawson talks about, you know, with the virtuous cycles of learning. And, you know, we were those continuous learners, and we get into it to celebrate that or do that work and share that. And we've been a bit bogged down by a bunch of busy work, and it's a lot easier. It takes some work to let go of the idea. And it took me work. It took me, I'd say, you know, I would go back and forth in the first 2 years of what we created of, is this right? Is this, you know, it, and then after I got to a point and I saw enough of the results in the young people, I said, oh my gosh, you know, absolutely, this is the right way to be doing this. And as you mentioned, those it's a two-way street for those teachers that are still working in the conventional model at the school district. That, yeah, they are learning a ton by being in the space. When we first floated the partnership amongst our team, there's a few of my team members who were really nervous. They did not want the school district to come in and change us. And I said, we will hold that line, but remember, this is an opportunity for us to share and show what can happen when you do give kids the voice and choice.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect that the way that it really worked is that the school district didn't change you, but you changed them.
Yes. Maybe. I think. Yeah.
I suspect, yeah. Right? Because that has been my experience, right? When you can get a more formal or rigid setting to finally just like let go, just even a little bit, oftentimes that they will start to pull in, you know, a lot of those components. I mean, you know, I can't find a formal educator out there that's not had a kid, a family, you know, say to them, why can't school be like summer camp? Or why, you know, and you're like, well, yeah, why can't it? And the answer is it can, we just have to choose, but it's complicated. I'm super curious, Jim, because this model is super intriguing, and it is part of a bigger network of really innovative educational opportunities and experiments, if you will, that Education Reimagined is supporting through their ecosystems work. What comes next? How does Rock Tree Sky as a network in and of itself, how does that model expand?
Yes. Well, definitely expands the ecosystem in our community. So really taking advantage of some of the tools that other folks have created over time, you know, certainly like 100 Roads and Catherine Fraze and Community Share and Josh Schachter, all the work Big Picture Learning has done to create ways for us to have robust relationships with professionals and other nonprofits in our community, and then really getting our young people out into those spaces. So the what's next is expanding those opportunities for young people to connect in the community. What else, what's a part of that as well is expanding the access of the days of support that we can provide funding for, so that we can make sure this is equitably accessible to any family who wants it. You know, currently you can get 2 days paid for by the school district. You know, Rocktree Sky does have scholarship, but we don't quite meet the bar yet of 5 days of support for families who might have two working parents or a single working parent. You know, so we haven't finished that work yet, and we're working on it. And then the other piece is our continuous help of other founders in and around our region who are inspired and starting similar types of spaces as Rocktree Sky and the many others. You know, we continue to do consultancy for them, paid for by a Vela Fund grant, and just have them on our campus to come and see how to do this, and just, you know, really open up the books and say, how can we help you?
Yeah, absolutely. So remarkable. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. One last thing that I want to share that I think is another piece that's next is proving out, is really leaning into what's the right assessment for these types of spaces. And that's the piece that I felt has been missing. And recently I was talking with Catherine Fraze, and she introduced me to the work of Theo Dawson and Zach Stein. And so I went on and started listening to some podcasts, and I was blown away. And I started nodding my head, and I said, yes, okay, this, I can get behind this, because this is really about understanding, you know, how do we support young people as learners, agnostic of the content. And I love it, because that allows the power of engagement to take hold. And I have to say, as I was driving home, listening to the podcast, a mountain lion ran across the road in front of me, bounded like a full-grown mountain lion. I've lived in Ojai 22 years. They're all around. I've never seen one. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take that as a sign. This is like, you know, there's a spiritual sign there somewhere, and I'm taking it. But, you know, I think the assessment piece, really, I think it's important. We're creating a field that's distinct from the, you know, conventional model, and we are going to need to be able to answer those questions of assessment for public dollars. And that's, I'm really interested in moving the needle on that.
Yeah, absolutely. We are. And it's a big thing to tackle, but it's super important one headed down the road. Jim, I want to thank you so much for the work that you do. You know, Rocktree Sky seems like it's an absolutely amazing space. And it's one that I think I should, in fact, get on a plane for. I you will see me standing at your door one Yay. Day here soon. But thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day to just share your work with our listeners. We appreciate it. And thank you for being a great guest on Learning Unboxed.
You are so welcome, Annalise. And thank you for the work that you're doing in Columbus, Ohio with the PASS Foundation and the ecosystem. And I am so excited and following that, eating popcorn over here and rooting for you all with the work that you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.